What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
This is Carson Wentz, and you're listening to Washington Football Talk Podcast.
Big game week. God, I love playoff football. That's essentially what we have. I know it's a month early, but this is a serious, serious football game. Commanders haven't had one of these. I know they had it in 2020, and that run was fun, but that team wasn't good, and the division was terrible. This feels different. I think they should win. Let's have a podcast.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley, Washington Football Talk Podcast, brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. Check them out, oarsmanva.com, 7 locations all over Northern Virginia, from Chantilly to Alexandria. They got you covered. Sitting here in the bubble with Mitch and Pete, just god-awful weather. Yet, I mean, it was only rain, and kids didn't have to go to school. But still, just a miserable November rain. I guess it's December. Hello, boys.
Yeah, it is December. It's well into December at this point. And yes, it, not only
going cold rain, I think of November rain, the song.
Going back to your intro, not only is it the division's better and this team's better, but there's going to be fans. How many, we'll see, but the fact that this stadium will be full of people as opposed to there being manufactured noise like there was in 2020 adds to the anticipation for Sunday night football.
All the players have made their plea for fans to be there. JP started off this season talking about wanting to see FedEx bumping. Let's see FedEx bump on Sunday. Let's fill it with Commanders fans. Let's make it loud. Let's have it be a real playoff environment. I mean, this is NFC East football. It's Thursday, December 15th at 3:07. It's 35 degrees and rainy. On Sunday, it's going to be in the upper 20s, lower 30s at kickoff. I mean, this is, when you think of NFC football late in December, this is what you think of. Two teams fighting their asses off to make the playoffs in freezing cold weather. Let's go.
Let's go. Got me fired up there, big man. Want to just kind of talk through the injuries, get a little vibe check. Pete got to sit down and talk to Curtis Samuel. I got to talk to Ron Rivera. We're going to give you both those interviews, double barrel style. I think we're going to do everything. We're making picks and
this
everything.
Is going to be an action-packed pod.
Okay, let's do it. Start with, I guess, what was a lengthy injury report, and Beamish is convinced, and I kind of believe him, that since the Commanders are coming off the bye, Ron tried to act like everybody was hurt, right, just because the Giants can't be like, oh, they're rested, because Ron never discloses that much information, and he went out of his way to disclose everybody that had, like, a hangnail.
Yeah.
I agree with him. I think, by and large, they're going to be fairly healthy. I think Trey Turner's back. Now, Larson's toast. I don't think he's playing again till 23, and not like January of 23, like September of 23.
That's a big effing deal.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Schweitzer can play. Like, you got to remember how bad it went with Martin, but then Schweitzer also got hurt. Turner was hurt. Like, that entire interior, say that a bunch, the entire interior was a mess in those days, and they didn't have Brian Robinson. So I'm not expecting it to be as bad as it was, but I am expecting it to be worse.
Schweitzer was pretty good last year when he had to play center. Even though it was pretty short before he got hurt last year. This year, the issue was with the snaps and getting the ball back to what was then Carson Wentz. Schweitzer is a very, very good run blocker. As long as Scott Turner doesn't get overly pass happy in this game, I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. Where it concerns me is when he has to make the snap back and make the line calls and worry about blocking the guy in front of him. He's not quite as good of a pass blocker as he is run blocker.
JP, you're like a Tyler Larson expert. I'm now vibing with everything you say about him. You're right that it's not just he's out and it's all going to go to SHIT again. There's a better scheme. There's more cohesion around him. So it should be a better product overall. But I'm definitely worried about it still. And Taylor's legs help, but pressure right up the gut for a quarterback who has.
He got sacked five times last week.
And he has height deficiencies and can't see over guys. If there's a big D lineman with his hands up right up the middle, that could seriously interrupt an offense.
Leonard Williams only played, I think, like 30 snaps against them 2 weeks ago.
Doesn't sound like he's playing.
No, it does. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't
know. It's Thursday, but it sounds like he's tracking the right way. He didn't play last week in Philly. It kind of seems, I don't want to overstate this, but if you look at Saquon's snap count, if you look at Leonard Williams just not playing, kind of seems like Daboll was like, we're going to get drilled here, yeah. We're going to eat it, and we're going to give some guys some rest for that next Washington game. Like, Washington's got to buy, we're kind of taking one.
Right. I entirely agree. It did not seem like they put out their –
They put Tyra Taylor in there at the end of the game.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they put out entirely their number one effort out there. The biggest thing, though, going back, is Wes Schweitzer and those snaps. When those snaps are all over the place, it throws off the entire timing of all their plays. Granted, Carson was back there, but think about how difficult of a job Carson had trying to keep a rhythm when the ball was coming every which way.
There's already so much for him to think about. You can't have the snap be one of the variables.
And you hope that that was a one-off bad game thrust into a situation he wasn't entirely ready for. He's had 2 weeks now to prep. They knew Tyler Larson was going on IR. You know Schweitzer was moving over to center. He's had 2 weeks to prep for it. He should be ready.
And for what it's worth, he also told us yesterday he had life-changing therapy when he was recovering from the concussion. Didn't get into specifics.
Who said this?
Schweitzer. Talked about how, like, he saw doctors who, like, helped him with his vision. He says he's feeling better than he has in years. Again, he was vague, but he was also very bullish on how he is personally health-wise.
Well, and he's one of the guys that wears the Guardian cap.
Yeah.
And, like,
climbs things barehanded. Like, he's got creative ways
climbs things.
Yeah, that's
maybe he got into that Russ Wilson nano bubbles.
I hope he's better than Russ Wilson's been.
So, dude, I mean, the game I think we all point to is how awful they were against Philly, right? The 9 sacks the first game when Carson just I thought they should have benched Carson at halftime. You can't do that against Philly, blah blah blah, right? That O-line was Leno, Norwell, Schweitzer, Turner when he was broken, and then Cosme. This week, we're going to see Leno, Norwell, Schweitzer, probably Turner, it sounds like, and Lucas. Turner was once lost, then he was found, then he got hurt again. I don't know what version we're going to get, but if it's anywhere close to that September Turner, look out.
Yeah.
Schweitzer is a pass blocker. You pointed out the deficiencies there. Schweitzer as a snapper. And it shows how awful Martin was that you still like, oh, yeah, we're going with Schweitzer.
Oh,
no problem.
Martin's got to feel real bad about himself right about now.
You know who has to
you
feel
know
bad
what
about themselves?
Getting checks because he's been out of the league.
Definitely.
Sadiq Charles and Chris MFing Paul have to feel pretty damn bad about themselves.
I'll defend Paul. He's a project. He's a seven. He's a what? Sixth rounder?
Seventh.
He's a project. Sadiq Charles been in the league 3 years.
Yeah, Sadiq. I mean,
you're supposed to be a left tackle, and now you can't get on the field at guard.
Yeah.
With all the injuries they've had, but to me, the Chris Paul, they're not even activating him.
He's a project.
He's a project. At some point, with all the injuries, you would think that project might have to be. Tossed into the mix every once in a while. Regardless, we're getting into the depths.
You have a weird hard-on. I don't know if we can say that. You have a weird.
We're going to try.
Yeah, you have a weird, like, this Chris Paul thing matters to you a lot.
I would caution, you're right. It's Commanders Giants. Let's just skip this Chris Paul debate that's going to take up 4 minutes of the pod
agree.
And just go straight through it, okay? How's that? Okay. Other injuries, Benjamin St. Juiced seems like he's heading in a great way.
I agree with that.
Looks nice in individuals. He was limited. There's a lot of limiteds. I think that's just rest and managing guys. I think St. Juiced is back and at it.
I think he's playing, which they need him, dude. The Giants were testing them deep often, and especially when Sip Holmes was in the game. But then when they went to Danny Johnson in OT, they threw back-to-back like 40-yarders.
Yeah.
That kid, Isaiah Hodgins.
Hodgins, yep.
Had his first career touchdown against the Commanders 2 weeks ago. Last week against the Eagles, twice he got deep, wide open behind – Eagle, but behind the Eagles secondary, Danny Jones didn't hit him either time.
He caught a touchdown, though, later against Slay on a scramble drill.
But he caught a touchdown later. He's turning into
something.
A sneaky threat that the Commanders better be aware of.
DFS cost you $1,200.
Yeah, bargain basement guy. But St. Juice, I think, would be enormous because, as JP said on the radio, and I've liked this theory a long time, you'd rather have a bunch of guys who are maybe B-minus in the secondary as opposed to a Darrell Revis, but then someone who's really – lacking, because then the offense can just throw at the lacking guy. You have Fuller and St. Juiced, they're not all pros or pro bowlers, but they're both competent and have their strengths, and that limits the offense in terms of being able to expose somebody.
I've said that on the podcast, but it must have been in the BP days.
It must have been.
Well, I heard it on the radio this morning. I was trying to plug your radio show. I
appreciate it, man. Thank you. I'm trying to plug your Curtis Samuel story.
Thank you.
The first one. What is the difference? You got him.
I got him.
Everybody else going to write a story this week.
The exclusive Curtis Samuel interview in town.
That's a hearty use of the word exclusive. Uh-huh. But my man,
Thank you. Go for it.
That
seems to be the thing that reporters do.
Pete's feeling himself today.
It was fun.
Pete is asserting himself.
Pete's very important.
So, I think good news coming on BSJ. Cosby, I certainly think, is going to be active, but I think it's going to be Turner and Lucas, right? Yeah. Does everybody agree there?
I think it's Turner and Lucas, and I don't think we're going to see
– I don't think the rotation
is. Exactly. I don't think you're going to see that tackle rotation.
Yeah.
I think they have Cosby moved inside.
Stop rotating tackles.
Lucas is playing well enough that you can stick with Lucas on an island out there.
Thibodeau had a game. Like,
Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau.
I don't know that we can say anybody played that well in New York.
No.
And I think they're going to be – I don't know, man. I'm nervous about the O-line because we've seen it gel, and now it's a new product.
I think you can look at Kayvon Thibodeau, who's a very, very good football player. I'm not taking anything away from him. But as a young guy, he's vulnerable, just like Chase Young was last year, like we saw, to some of those mesh plays and being beat around the outside.
I think who's running them? Maybe Curtis, but – there's zero threat of Taylor running.
So that's – I think you're going to see Brian Robinson up the middle, soften up that middle portion of the Giants' defense, and then you can see a Curtis Samuel end around, whatever the hell they call it, jet sweep, whatever the wording is, that play that they love. And you can see Curtis hit a pretty big play out of that.
Or get real clever and have Taylor finally do it. But the hesitancy has been there for 2 months. It's probably just asking a wall to – it's like talking to a wall at this point. But
where were you headed with the asking a wall?
Well, like talking to a wall. I'm just complaining about this for months, and I'm not getting anything
back. Banging your head against the wall?
No, like trying to get a wall to talk. I don't know.
Something about a wall.
I want Taylor Heineke to run. He doesn't do it. Maybe this is
You've given up on AG. Now you're a Heineke runner truther.
Yes.
I'm happy with Heineke with what he's doing in terms of running the ball. I think that when he starts
– I feel like he could run a little more, dude.
I think in the mesh game he can maybe run a little more, but I don't want to see him in the passing game. I don't want to see him scrambling around, and I don't want to see him trying to do too much, trying to force balls downfield. Throw the ball. He's doing a great job of throwing the ball away when it's not there and throwing up lucky ducks that don't get picked.
Dude, so let's do this quickly. But we have to live in a safe space to be able to talk about Heineke where – we're talking about the starting quarterback of an NFL team. We're not suggesting anyone else should be the starting quarterback of this NFL team. He's the starter. We got to be able to criticize this dude because they're not getting it done. Like, we can talk about a million things. He has to be better. He missed Logan Thomas on a walk-in six that 99% of the league makes that throw. Like, dude, he's started 7 games. Carson Wentz still leads this team in passing yards. He started 6 games.
Yeah.
Taylor started 7 games. Carson Wentz still leads this team in passing touchdowns. Like, we need more out of Taylor. And I he's got a mile of heart. He's got, like, whatever you want to say. Edit that out. But, but dude, credit to Zach Selby for this game preview, which was quite helpful. Like,
Commanders.com writer.
Yeah.
Also, noted biscuit maker.
All right. Pop quiz, and you may know some of these. Whose passing offense averages 207 a game?
Between these two teams?
Between these two teams.
That seems like a Taylor number.
Yeah, Commanders.
So who's higher?
The Giants are slightly higher.
212?
No, the Giants are actually worse, which is remarkable.
Wow.
The Giants are averaging .180 a game.
Oh, gosh.
Yo. Holy. The Commanders are 207. I think that's propped up by some Carson numbers.
Yeah, definitely. And like Jones, that's really scant, but he at least runs for 40 yards a game. And
who has the better third down offense?
Commanders are 25th, I think. Very low.
I think the Giants are 20. They're 25 and 26.
20 and 27, G-men. Like, these are just two really bad offenses.
Yeah.
The difference is the Giants – the Commanders' rush defense is top 6, I believe. The Giants' rush defense is 27th or something like that.
Well,
it's a huge, there's a huge.
It's not as it's so the Commanders are 9th in rush defense. The Giants are 29th. So the delta's big. Yeah, yeah. But the numbers that perhaps matter more than the year is if you look at like the last six games. And I was looking at this from this is from Ralph Vacchiano, who covers the NFC East for Fox. Like, here's what's more important: their last four games, the Giants are averaging a 109 on the ground. And Barkley only has a 152.
Yeah, Saquon's running out of steam.
The last seven for the Commanders, 146 on the ground.
Yeah.
So, to me, you got to just hammer the ground game here.
But you're right. Taylor has to be better, and I think the third down percentage, you would think, in theory, a guy who can run around, who knows the offense, who's maybe more accurate, has a quicker release, whatever, sounds like it, would be able to get more out of this team on third downs. But he just hasn't been doing that. And I think a lot of it just comes down to simple inaccuracy, like whether it's mechanics or not having the clean line of sight. Like, there are open receivers, and you see him overthrow them, underthrow them. That's frustrating. He's got to be just cleaner with that. You can say it's got to be play calling or timing, but at a certain point, the quarterback has to complete the pass to the guy who's open, and Taylor just has to do that at a higher rate. It's not going to be a much higher rate, but a slightly higher rate to get them to 38% at third downs instead of like the 12 or 15% that they've been at so much.
Right. I think as we talk about Taylor, you have to look at when he first came in. You were talking about, okay, let's see what Taylor can run with the offense. We're now talking about a playoff team, and part of that is because of what Taylor has done at quarterback. But if you're talking about trying to get into the playoffs and win playoff games, at some point your offense is going to have to help you out and have to go out and make a big play, score some points. You can't rely on the defense to always be entirely shut down. And so there needs to be improvement at quarterback. There needs to be improvement by the offense. They've been doing a great job of running. Get the passing game up and moving, and the Giants are a good opportunity. You pointed out, Pete, they love to play man. Blitz a fair amount. There's going to be opportunities to hit those guys downfield. I think you can look at the Commanders' receivers are better than the Giants' DBs. I believe, is it Adoree Jackson is out?
Yeah.
Which is a big miss for them.
It may not be officially out, but everything I've read and heard, he's out.
That's a big loss for the Giants. He's their best cornerback. There are going to be plays to be had on Sunday. I think the difference between this being a very, very close game and the Commanders being winning comfortably is going to be Taylor hitting some of these big passing plays.
Yeah.
Be nice. Taylor on the season averaging 206 a game. Carson in his starts was averaging 247. So there's chunk-wise a difference there.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say Carson had more picks than Taylor does.
Barely. It was
6-5 or something.
Yeah. So Carson had 10 touchdowns.
A lot more.
Yeah, way more. Carson had 10 touchdowns, 6 picks. Taylor at this point has 9 touchdowns, 5 picks. Taylor's also going to move into the passing yards leader in this game.
Right.
But that'll be in 8 starts. But he's only 50 yards behind.
What I was getting, the Giants,
or maybe even 40.
Don't pick off a lot of balls.
They have four picks on the year.
I think they're second in the NFL with 16 forced fumbles this season. They get their turnovers. They just get them in different ways. And you talk about Taylor running the ball a little bit more. The Giants are good at that little peanut punch, apparently. I don't know that you want
non-regular
ball carriers, you know,
Robinson
that
and Gibson
second.
Haven't fumbled this year. Robinson hasn't fumbled in a decade. More knocking
on wood.
If anybody can hear us with this biblical flood going on.
Yeah,
I know, it's loud as hell.
This bubble deflated one time.
This walk to the car is going to be so joyous.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I don't know how to describe this, but let's just get a vibe check. I was in there today. You guys been there the last 2 days. Where are the vibes at with this team? Talking to Ron, he seems pretty locked in.
I think it feels the same as it has been for the past few weeks, and that's good because I've liked the confidence and the energy. Today, Logan Thomas was walking around passing out food that he brought in. Everybody was talking about how great the food was. John Allen was playing cornhole, which I've never seen before. I think this is a confident bunch. They're recharged, and they are – but they're not overly confident where they're not – talking about the seriousness of this game, they all are aware of how crucial this one is. And Ron said on Wednesday, this isn't just another game. This one matters a ton. And without this one, the rest doesn't matter nearly as much. So I think his one of his great qualities is getting players to hone in on a singular thing, and that would be beating the Giants, and I think these players are going to listen to that. So as long as the execution is there, I don't think it's going to be a flop where they come out and are down 14-0 and it's like, what the hell? Where's this energy? Where's the focus? I think they have that. Now they just need to actually execute whatever they've been practicing.
I think it's a little bit of an interesting dichotomy between some of the quotes, and granted, the stuff we hear out of the Giants locker room is mostly the bulletin board type material things versus we hear everything that the Commanders say. But the Commanders seem more loose and confident, whereas the Giants to me seem like they're more locked in on it being a playoff game, winner, you know, live or die, most important game of the season, we have to win this or our season's over type thing. And it's interesting because I was saying this the other day, if we were covering the Giants, if the shoe was on the other foot, Daniel Jones, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so he's going to be a free agent this offseason. He started off really strong, has struggled. This is a Giants career-defining game for Daniel Jones. It is such a huge game for him. If he goes out there and lays an egg or doesn't play well, he's going to get crushed, and it's going to be his fault that they didn't make the playoffs this year. They'll move on from him, you know, this, that, and the other thing. If he goes out there and plays, there's a lot of pressure on Daniel Jones to go out there and play well, and there's pressure on Commanders players and Taylor Heinicke and everybody else. But this is a career, a Giants career defining game for him, and I don't think we can go into this game without recognizing what they have at stake over on that side, because there's a lot.
Some quotes from the Giants. Jihad Ward, who may not play, Giants DN, we've got to win this bleeping game. It's a must win. I haven't heard must win from anybody over here.
Yeah.
And that isn't necessarily a good thing. Like, right. I think the Commanders are maybe taking a little more measured approach, recognizing there's four games left. Like, if you drop this one and won the next three and went 3-1, you're still getting in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe the big picture approach is smarter. I liked this from Saquon.
Saquon had a good one, yeah.
It's who you are in those moments, and what better opportunity after a game getting embarrassed on TV in front of everyone, and everyone outside of us is saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. I think we'll know kind of early if this is going to be a slugfest or if the Giants are toast.
Yeah.
I could see it going either way.
Because you can have that attitude, but they may just not have the bodies.
I think we're headed to slugfest.
I think so too.
I was talking with an NFC East executive in like a personnel guy in Dallas.
Welcome back.
And he's like, first guy, he's like, I think the winner of this has to get to 25. I was like, 25? It was 20 last week. He's like, 25. Who can do it? Yeah. These offenses stink.
Right. Yeah. At six quarters, seven quarters. Like,
right.
The only thing I'll say, the Commanders got out to that 10-0 lead in New York.
Yeah.
Looked like they were going to run away with it.
They showed that.
Yeah.
Bleep that.
I think 10-pound cojones we could leave in.
Yeah. The other one is a little too descriptive.
Anyway, they showed some moxie and came back from that.
This Giants team is all moxie. Like,
yeah.
Because they're not.
They're
like,
so
if you
not
go talent.
Oh.
If you go talent, Leonard Williams, Saquon, Thibodeau, Ojulari.
Julian Love, you like.
Yeah, I mean, there's some players, but like, if you were
Evan
ranking top 10.
You're taking the Commanders' top three receivers before any of the Giants guys.
Oh. Before any of the Giants receivers?
Yeah.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying over Saquon. I think
the only position group they may have an advantage is running back.
Quarterback. Only in the top
quarterback
end.
Maybe.
Only because Saquon is so damn good.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, they win on the fringes like this team does.
We talked about, and Beamish keeps pointing this out, like, the Hogs are way more talented. Giants should barely be in this thing. Yet they have the exact same record, and they just tied two weeks ago.
Right. I know.
Like, they tied.
Yeah, they literally couldn't have been more even.
But that's why it's the difference between should and will, our favorite game to play.
I mean, it's football,
You look at it on paper, you look at it on the field, the Commanders should win. The Commanders should win. When I say a handily Commanders win, those aren't huge
blowouts.
Maybe we
aren't totally gripping our laptops with 2 minutes left.
It might be a 10-point win or something like that. They should
that.
Do that.
Yeah.
But I
thought that was happening.
In no way do
Pete
I think that will
happen. Pete and
I
counted what teams the Commanders can't beat at about midway through the second quarter in the Meadowlands.
They can match up with this team in the NFC.
And really, there's clearly the six teams that have separated in the NFL. Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles, Niners, Cowboys.
Yep.
They beat the the Eagles.
I know. I think that was kind of a perfect scenario, but I think they can compete with the NFC's best because those tend to be defensive grinded out games. Dude, they're not scoring enough.
Right. We also don't need to worry about that.
I know.
Right.
But that's
probably.
I'm just saying
yeah.
where they are.
Yeah.
But they don't have to play all those teams.
Right.
They only
got
to play one of them if they get there.
Yeah. Right.
And on any given day, any team.
We don't need to do all that. I wanted to talk two things. Before we get to – we've got interviews and we're going to give our game picks and everything. I wanted to kind of give a Dallas recap. I also – did you guys hear Vernon Davis's song yet?
I saw the video.
Can we play it? Are we allowed to?
Just let people can find it.
Yes.
It's like a –
he's going to perform
song.
It at
yeah,
a –
he's going to perform it at the game.
Game.
Vernon Davis has range, man. He's an actor.
Oh, my gosh.
Musician.
Yeah.
Chef. Football player.
Yeah.
Model.
I was surprised when I saw it. I was with Nikki in Dallas, and we got the press release, and she's like, wait, Vernon Davis is performing? I was like, what are you talking about? And we're reading this thing, and we're like, oh. And then we saw the video today. Kind of catchy.
He's just
– it's not – as far as former athletes turned rapper musicians, he doesn't rank anywhere near the bottom.
Right. You just want to be away from the bottom, and he's comfortably there.
Yeah. Like, he's it was fine.
Yeah.
All right, Dallas went down there for owners' meetings. A lot of hurry up and wait, but when the action starts, there is some action. We're kind of chasing Tanya all over. At best, we're going to get an official no comment. You know what I mean? But
right.
We got nothing because the – security, the NFL knows what it's doing. She goes out one door. We don't have access to it. We have to run around. They're already in a car by the time we get out there. But then my man Jim Irsay starts talking. And this is my opinion, to be clear. But it seemed pretty damn clear that someone, my guess would be Roger Goodell, told all those guys to shut the bleep up. And Irsay made it clear he thinks selling is the best solution for Dan. But, you know, he hasn't changed his opinion, but also kind of made clear he's not asking for a vote or anything. I wrote a story earlier this week. I think there's kind of three scenarios unfolding. One is Bezos, right? Like, most money in the world just buys this thing and it's a done deal. I don't really think that's going to happen. I've had people tell me it's going to happen. If you get text messages and live in the D.C. area, I'm sure your cousin's roommate's uncle has texted you that. Like, that kind of thing is starting. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but people will be like, yo, Bezos has got it.
Yeah. Hey, my buddy works right. in the shipping, and they told right. me that was happening.
I don't think Dan would sell to Bezos. And Dan still has more control in this than I think a lot of people realize. The second scenario is that there's going to be heavy competition for it by a lot of qualified groups. Like, you know, one kind of business person leading a group with a ton of cash. I think that's the most likely scenario. Third is that this is all an elaborate hoax and he's not going to sell it. Two and three could kind of work together. It's possible he could set a number so damn high that nobody gets to it. Or, dude, as much as we don't think it's possible, like, talking with some people, like, there is a point where even buying an NFL team doesn't make sense because you got to be able to make money and turn it into an asset. And I do believe this team is a good owner with political clout and cash could turn this thing into a printing press within 3-4 years. Like, you get a new stadium, sponsors come back on board, fans come back on board, you're winning right now. Like, if they got a new owner and they win a wild card game, what does FedEx look like? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the momentum would be just through the roof.
Very real.
And there's certainly the theory that Dan is just slow playing this thing, waiting for all the heat to die down and hang out. Mitch has been saying that for a while. I still believe it's getting sold. I think it's going to take a little more time. It was pointed out to me that the Broncos officially came up for sale on February 1st, I believe, and
what,
then sold.
Months?
It was seven. They sold in August. I think it was February to August. A number of the people that kind of went through the process with Denver would be interested now, so some of the vetting is already happened.
Yep.
It's an interesting time. I'm happy to revisit Chips if we want.
I think the only other thing to add, the Post story this week from Maskey and Liz Clark.
Yeah.
Sending out the Bank of America is sending out the prospectus and all the information, you know, financial and whatever other information for potential bidders to have, I think is – noteworthy, but also when you contract a bank to do a sale in this manner, this is one of these steps. So yes, it's moving forward, but this is also all in the discovery process for both the team discovering who's going to bid and also for potential bidders to understand the underlying financials of what the Commanders are or have.
I would like you to revisit Chips, JP, since you were down there. I want to see if you've shifted. Your chips are valuable.
I don't remember what my last chips were. I want to say 70-30.
Maybe 80-20, like 70-30.
I'm still around there. Dude, Albert Breer, who I know and respect a lot, had a story that, yo, this could just be one giant okey-doke. And I have heard that from people. What?
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. It's out there. I've heard that from people that, like, I trust and, like, I value their opinion. Like, I do think the okey-doke's on the table, but I've also heard from enough other people that this thing is happening. And I've heard that from people on lots of sides. I've heard the okey-doke from people that know Dan and know Dan's history. So, like, there's the big picture and the people that are like, yo, this dude never does anything the easy way. What makes you think it's happening now? So I don't know, but I'm at 70-30. I don't remember what my last total was, but
the analogy I draw is like when draft season happens, you know who the number one pick is, but the draft is still so far away. And then you talk yourself into, what if they draft this guy instead? But then at the end, it's like, oh, they took the quarterback that we all expected. I think that's what's happening here. When the news first broke that he was getting the bank, we were all like, yeah, definite sale, except for Mitch. Props to Mitch if he's ever proven right. But for the most part, everybody's in agreement. And now that it's gone so quiet, I think people are just having time to work themselves up into a lather about other theories. I still think sale will happen. Dan will be gone, just as we expected, as expected, with our first instinct.
It's like, and forgive me, what did you just say?
Draft season.
Totally.
Yes.
Like, oh, the number one pick's one dude the whole time, and you're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, what about this guy?
His knee might actually be hurt, and he maybe doesn't read the offense. Like, no, he's actually really good. We were all right the first time. Let's not overdo this.
Perfect segue into game picks, because I always say I need to trust my gut when it first comes out, laying the points. I'm not doing anything fancy. You guys do whatever fancy stuff you want. I would love it, the best possible line.
4.5 is what you're going to get.
What about a 4?
What, are you just making up lines?
We did this for you last time.
Extra juice.
We're not going to do that this time.
I'm just laying the points.
You get Commanders -4.5.
And, dude, if you look at the betting odds, the whole world is taking the Giants, which I get because they bleeping tied 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and now you're getting 4.5
free points. I understand it.
Yeah. For me, I'll go with I like the fact that these receivers are so anxious to play against the Giants because the Giants play so much man. We saw Dotson, Samuel, and Terry all put up really big numbers. I think all three went over their totals. Last time these two played, Taylor went over his passing total. I know that's not the strategy, but I think there might be opportunities for that. We saw the secondary get shredded by an albeit much better Eagles passing offense. This is a long way of me saying I'll go Taylor over. Not passing yards because we do that for over-unders. I'll say Taylor over touchdowns. It's not listed yet. I think it's going to be 1.5, so I'll say over 1.5 for Taylor, 100 chips. It might be like -130, -150, whatever it is. We'll talk with Mark. That's my pick. Taylor over 1.5 touchdowns. Throwing. Strictly throwing.
I guess I'm going to help Pete get there because I'm so far down in chips that I'm just throwing a dart at the board.
Ah.
Oh, boy.
I will take a parlay of Curtis Samuel touchdown.
Uh-huh.
And Terry McLaurin touchdown.
So I have to argue with the guys on the radio all the time.
Nice.
How far down in chips are you?
I don't know.
I'll pull that up right now.
Like, if you just picked the winner for 3 straight weeks with all 100
chips? Oh, yeah, we suck at chips.
No, I think I'm down by like 700 to you.
-70 for Peter, 70 for JP. The winner, the leader right now is 70. Mitch is -465.
Damn.
Because 2 straight weeks I've gone for crazy parlays to make up a big difference.
Just pick a winner. Boom, 100.
I got a winner.
Mitch has lost.
Terry touchdown.
Mitch has lost 1, 2, 3.
I lost like 5 or 6.
You've lost your last 500 chips picks.
Swing your sword, big man.
Yeah.
My problem is
shout
that
out to Mike Leach.
We do our gambling video where I put in the bet that I like most usually like most, and then I try and go with a secondary bet.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving out the same thing in both places.
Dude, I don't know how many people are watching our gambling
video.
The same
thing in both places.
I'm aware. I care.
All right. So wait, are neither of these parlay picks, the one pick you put in the video?
Correct.
The video he took under 40.5. This one he's got two Commanders players catching touchdowns.
Not catching.
All right.
Scoring touchdowns.
Fair enough.
Curtis, I guess that.
I think Curtis is going to run one in, and I think Terry's going to catch one.
You'll hear.
You seem very high on Curtis this week.
I am quite
high
on Curtis.
Why not just bet Curtis numbers?
I am betting Curtis. I have Curtis. You want, okay, I can parlay.
No,
Curtis.
You're fine. You're fine. Curtis and Terry touchdowns. We'll find those numbers later.
Curtis and Terry touchdowns.
100 chips.
Also, real quick, my 100 chips on sales is 60-40 limited partner. But go ahead.
The limited partner has to get approved. They're giving him a life raft?
I think.
I don't know.
We're talking about letting the heat die down and moving on.
He got a big pile of debt. He needs a new stadium. Yeah.
A set of limited partners could handle both the debt and financing the majority of a new stadium.
The debt's $1 billion. The debt's $900 million or something.
That's
foot.
No, he owes $480.
Football.
Whatever.
Over-unders. Taylor, JP, you said I think he's averaging 206. Last game he had 275, but that was with an extra quarter and desperation there at the end. I think we set it at 212.5. I think that's
under.
All right.
For the season.
Okay. Mitch?
I'm going to go over.
And he should be the starter.
I don't know why. I think Scott Turner is going to get past Happy in this game. For whatever reason, it's gotten stuck in my head that this is happening, and I agree. I think it's bad news. But because of that.
But also, pass happy, 214 goes over, and you don't have to be pass happy to get it. But I hear it yourself.
Right. But what I'm saying is I think that they get a little more pass happy than run happy because they look at all the opportunities they had 2 weeks ago in the passing game and think, well, Taylor will hit it this time.
I think they had first and goal at the 6 and should have ran it 4 straight times.
I agree.
Brian Robinson, he's had 105.
Did you give a pick?
Yeah, I said over. Over. I didn't give a pick, but now I will. Over, because it's going with my touchdowns. Robinson has had 105 against the Falcons and 96 against the Giants. Do like 90.5 or something high for him. I mean, he gets tons of carries.
I wanted to point something out. You guys should both be right. He should go over. There should be touchdowns. The Giants' secondary is bad. So you guys are on the right side of this.
Yes.
I'm just playing a gut play.
I understood.
Well, you need to catch up in whatever this over-unders is. I think Pete has 3, I have 2, and you have 1 maybe?
JP has 1, Mitch has 2, I have 3, correct.
Like a steel trap.
Yeah, really. Robinson, let's set it at 89.5. It's a high number. That's like a Derrick Henry level number, but he runs the ball all the time, and he's gone over it the past 2 weeks. What do we think?
I'm going under. I'm concerned about he does his best work between the tackles. I'm concerned about
the cunning. That's a cunning take.
The Trey Turner, Wes Schweitzer combo in the middle there. I'm going under 89.5.
I'm going to copy your answer and your reasoning.
Make it a 3-pack.
Okay.
It's going to leave me in the lurch in fantasy. I have to decide whether I start Brian Robinson or a couple other dudes.
I think people really cared about hearing about that.
Hey, Pete, f*** you.
I leave all that. I'm just saying, I like to be concise when we get to picks.
Terry McLaurin, he had 105 in the last game. His number's usually around 67.5. We'll put it there. Thanks.
Over.
Thanks for letting me just make these up. I'll go over.
All 3 of us are the same, so.
I think we're different on Taylor.
Yeah.
I'm the only one.
You're the only one, yeah. Pete and I are the same.
And Benjamin Bet.
Oh, God.
Can I get a third go-around here?
Mitch hasn't paid you for the second.
2020.
Correct. Mitch has not paid me. That's fine. Kind of.
It's fine. he's mad at me for paying.
He's
going to keep complaining about it.
I think it's even better that he's mad at me for paying.
Yeah.
He's going to keep complaining about it. It's just going to push it further along.
Yeah.
I'm checking to see if I got paid on the
Commanders,
the last 180 joint.
24. Giants.
33, you mean?
Yeah.
You got paid.
Commanders 24, Giants 15.
My PayPal.
Giants, 5 field goals, no touchdowns.
I sent him via Venmo, buddy.
Did you? Okay, I'll check.
What'd you say?
24-15 Commanders. Cover, under, Giants, no touchdowns. 5 Graham Gano field goals in the friendly confines.
I'm like right there, because this dude told me they got to get to 25, which is such a bizarre number. So I'm going with 25-17 Commanders.
Nice.
I was going 23-16 Commanders.
Okay. I believe that's all.
Interviews?
That's it, and that's all. Here comes JP and Ron Rivera, which was recorded on Thursday, so it's nice and fresh. And then after, you'll hear Pete and Curtis Samuel. We'll talk to you late Sunday night. JP?
Late, dude.
Early Monday morning.
You want to finish this off? Late.
If you made it as far, I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
I say it every week, but this time I really mean it. With a primetime game coming up, I appreciate you making the time to talk with me, head coach Ron Rivera. What's the vibe like? This is a big one coming.
It's been pretty good. It really has. The guys have been pretty consistent about it for the most part. I thought we had we're having a good week of work. I think ever since the guys have been back from the bye, they've been focused in on the things that they need to pay attention to, the details.
Kind of going back to Thanksgiving, and since then, you've been leaning on your captains and on kind of your veteran players to see what the practice schedule needs to be. How do you feel like that's working out for your team?
I think so far it's been really good. I think our captains are very emblematic of the type of guys we have. So when I talk to them about these things, and they show me that these guys are trustworthy. These guys have done the right things so far. They've done the things they needed to do, and so there's really no reason for me to doubt them. So giving them this opportunity to decide, hey, instead of bringing you back on Monday and coming in and working, hey, I'll give you an extra day, but give me your Tuesday. They were all for it, and it was great. We got the guys back on Tuesday. They were focused already. Came back on a Wednesday, and the biggest thing we just saw was we were a little sloppy, little details, mostly because we're getting back into it. We had a really good workout today on Thursday, so I'm very happy, very pleased with our guys.
How do you keep guys, when you got to wait till Sunday night for this important of a game, how do you keep the energy level maybe, inched back until game time?
Well, you got to remind them not to play the game till it's game time. That's the biggest thing. It's going to be a good weekend for you guys to sit back, enjoy everything before you. But once we get to a certain point, then let's start focusing in on, let's start paying attention to the little things.
Offensively, if you look at the stats, the Giants and the Commanders are fairly even. What do you need to do differently this weekend that you didn't do in the Meadowlands?
Well, I think one of the things that we got to be more consistent is in the red zone. Our play has got to be better. We get there, we score, but we're better off scoring touchdowns as opposed to kicking field goals. That's one of the things I think we got to pay attention to.
How do you do that? Is it on Taylor? Is it on?
Well, I think it's on how we go out there and perform, how we do our job. That's probably the most important thing that we can talk about.
Brian Robinson, kind of a surprise landing on the injury report with the quad. He's a key part of this thing.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it's one of those things that, because it happened in the game, we have to put it out there. So we've put it out there.
Well, and the week off, we would have heard about it, probably.
Yes.
Gotcha. A number of guys it looks like are trending back. Let's start with Benjamin St. Juice. How do you feel about getting him back on the field?
He's had a couple of days of good work, but the key, though, is how he always feels the next day, how he does the last day of prep. And so we'll hold our breath and keep our fingers crossed. He is a big part of what we've done and why we've had the success we've had. Chase continues to work and work and just get better and better, and we'll just see how he is again as we get to later in the week.
Is there like a conversation to be had? Like, are you ready? Or is it you're still waiting on the docs and the workouts?
Well, I think this is really about Chase now, getting comfortable, being back where he needs to be mentally, where he needs to be football-wise too as well. You just can't, show up and play.
Cosme, you got Schweitzer going at center now. Mm-hmm. I imagine you'd like to have Cosme at right guard.
No, not necessarily. Trey's back. Trey's played very well. Both these guys have all played well. Cosme's a little bit behind in terms of coming back from the ankle that he had on last Sunday.
How important is Montez Sweat for Sunday night?
Oh, Montez is very important, and as are for the most part all our guys. What they do for us and how they've impacted our game has been good. It really has. But Montez brings a lot of energy. He's a dynamic football player.
Daniel Jones. Against the rest of the league is one player. Against the burgundy and gold, he's a different player. I imagine slowing him down this weekend is imperative. How do you get there?
Well, first of all, it's about discipline, about doing your job. One of the things that you have to be able to do is you've got to be able to take away their running game with Saquon. If you can slow that down, then they got to rely on him a little bit more as far as Daniel Jones. And then you've got to be disciplined against this young man. He's a good runner when he makes the decision on the zone reads to pull it and keep it. He's also a dangerous passer on the RPOs, and if he has to scramble, he will. But the way you stop him is being disciplined in your run gaps, being disciplined in your pass rush lanes.
If the playoffs started today, and they don't, you guys would be the sixth seed. You've won the most games of your tenure so far. You got four to play. Is this what you live for? Is this what you built for, this stretch?
This is what you hope for because, again, the way we want to play this game, I think, is conducive to how you can play or you should play when it gets to December. You've got to play good football, sound football, solid football, and I think it does start with running the ball well.
You're an incredibly respected coach around the NFL. You are a class act and a gentleman. Where is Ron, the 85 Bears linebacker, on this weekend's game?
Oh, he's fired up. I mean, he's looking for the opportunity to help his team do whatever it can to win.
Thank you very much. I know you're busy.
All right.
Before getting into the season, one thing I've noticed in all the like team videos that come out where they ask you questions and you answer, you're always like, I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
What about Brooklyn like still resonates to you? Why is it so like, why do you love being from there and repping that so hard?
It's really important to me because it's not many guys that I can think of that's actually from Brooklyn, New York. There's a lot of guys from the state, you know, but it's not many people from where I'm from, Brooklyn, in the whole New York City, because I don't want to isolate Staten Island and, you know, the Bronx, Harlem, all that.
Right.
But I feel like I always got to say that and represent that because there's a lot of kids and players that's really good from New York City that I feel like that don't get the recognition. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand that New York City got football, got good football,
right.
Great football. It's just we don't get the opportunities to play against, you know, outside states. So I always got to, you know, let people know I'm a kid from Brooklyn,
yeah.
I'm in the NFL, and, you know, the kids looking up to me is achievable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like they'll ask you, like, oh, what side do you not want on Thanksgiving? You're like, well, I'm from Brooklyn.
It's who I am, and I always got to reiterate that.
Did you know Curtis is from Brooklen? I don't know if he's said it a time or two.
Come on, he know.
What was it like, this is probably a dumb question, but like high school football there, like, you know, I'm from Maryland, there's schools everywhere, fields everywhere. Was it, like, did you have to travel to play other teams, or what was the competition level like?
In New York City, the way it works and the way I operate, I'm going to just say it now because I want to change.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my school in particular has really good football.
Mm.
Really good football. Not to isolate all the other schools, but my school have really good football.
Right.
And I think New York City needs to find a way to expand and allow schools to be able to play state schools in the whole New York State.
Yeah.
Because you allow players to get the exposure, the recognition, you know, a better chance of going to these colleges. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
New York City, we just started getting those recruits. And, you know, it's basically one of those things where it used to be they used to just go to Jersey.
Yeah.
And then, oh, let me see if New York City got somebody.
Right.
It was one of those types of deals. It is now, but I want it to be more of New York City has great football, great kids. You know, the competition, it is what it is. But New York City, we need to expand. We need to allow those inner city kids to play against those guys outside the state.
Can you think of anybody in the league right now or guys that you looked up to that are from the area? Or do you feel like you're one of the main dudes?
I think I am. I know we got a D lineman. I'm not sure if he's still in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I know the running back. I think he plays for the Ravens still.
Yeah.
Edwards, he's from Staten
Gus
Island.
Gus Edwards, yeah.
That's
crazy. Like, it's hard to think of guys.
Yeah,
like
it's so hard. And we have so much talent in New York. We have so much talent.
Right.
So much talent. We just need the exposure.
Gotcha. So looking back, I know you've talked a ton about last year, but just quickly, like 12 months ago, you just played your final game against Dallas. It was that Sunday night blowout, and like your season kind of ends right there. What's the biggest difference between you today versus the Curtis 12 months ago, whether it's physically, mentally, like, how different do you feel?
I've been telling y'all since day one, it's all about my health.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling healthy, if I'm feeling good, I'm able to play and be the player that I want to be. Last year, you know, I felt like I was just trying to, you know, just forcing myself to really try to make something happen, try to be out there just for the fact that it was the pressure of, you know, they brought me here, you know, the fans, and what you want to see, you know what I'm saying?
That's exactly what Scott was just saying.
I'm thinking of all outside factors and not really worried about what's important. It's just, mm-hmm. are you ready to go? And looking back, no, I wasn't, because the things I'm able to do now, whether to stop on a dime, all those types of things, spin, cut, jump, I wasn't really able to do last year. And I know that because I wasn't even doing it at practice.
Yeah.
So I can't expect myself to do it in a game. You know, so like go backwards, you go back to camp, when people see me make the cut, it's like,
right.
oh, Curtis may be feeling good, because you see those things. And I think that my health was one of those things that was a key factor of, you know, me not being able to be who I am.
So you're trying to get back. It just, you weren't letting yourself heal. You had the surgery and finally had time off the off season, and you were training different and eating different, and that's kind of contributed to where you are.
Absolutely. I kind of want to change things up a little bit. I kind of want to eat better. I started like just focusing more on my, but not saying I haven't done it before, right. but it's what I was just hammering on it, because I'm like, I know the player I can be. I know who I am. It's all about being healthy, mm-hmm. and that's the only goal of mine.
So how big was that Jacksonville game for you, just being able to make that huge statement, all the catches, all the yards, scoring the first touchdown? Like, how awesome was that?
It was refreshing. It was just one of those things, like look where you came from. Like, last year was so depressed. Like, it was bad. Like, it was tough. Like, I just seeing no way out of it. So, mm-hmm. you know, to start the beginning of the season, you know what I'm saying, just showing people what I can do, showing my teammates, you know what I'm saying, most importantly, the coaches, what I can do when I get the ball in my hands was very important for me.
It was funny hearing Terry yesterday. He was like, after that game, after the cuts in training camp, he started walking around like, see, that's who Curtis is. Like, I've been telling you guys, now you can see it. Mm-hmm. What's it been like having him next to you in the locker room and being able now to play together, which is something you've talked about for years?
Yeah, that's my, you know, that's my brother right there. I don't know if y'all noticed, but, you know, I was staying at Terry's house, you know, during OTAs before the injury. So when the injury happened, mm-hmm. I was staying with Terry. Like, I'm literally laying on his couch. Wow. You know what I'm saying? When I'm dealing with the injury. Yeah. And, like, this dude, like, I'm telling you, like, I couldn't walk down the stairs. I'm like, oh, Terry, can you please go get the food downstairs for me? Like,
wow.
Like, I'm telling you, he's there with me every step of the way, making yeah. sure I'm good, and just being there for me mentally. You know, I got my family, everybody. But he was, you know, that was the person that was there
Damn.
When I was going through my stuff. So what we've been through in the college, and then after him helping me along the way when I was out here, you know, that's just, you know, I already knew what type of person he was, but that just showed me a lot, you know what I'm saying?
When was, like, do you remember a specific time last year, maybe when it was the most dark or most challenging? I know the whole thing probably was, but, like, maybe when you tried to come back and retweaked it or something? Or is it just all of it was pretty much a mess?
All of it was pretty much a mess, but I remember the practice how I came back. I can't remember exactly what week it was, but... You know, I had came back and I just caught a little swing route at practice, and I just
think I remember it.
And
yeah.
I just planted it. I'm like, and it just, like, I felt so much pain, and I'm just like it was one of those things. It was so bad that I'm like, yo, how can I overcome this? Like,
really?
I've never really dealt with a groin injury so severe that I never really understood it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Hamstrings, if I know it's bad, I know at some point I'm gonna get better. With
yeah.
this, I didn't really understand if I would get better. How much better would I be?
Yeah.
Will I be able to cut?
So you're doubting if you could ever come back?
I didn't understand an injury enough to know if I would be able to do what I'm doing now.
Was it a pull, or just did they ever kind of come up with a name of this is what the issue is, or is it just...
It's one of those things.
I know you don't want to review
yeah,
it, and we don't
really
need to get back into it.
I can't explain it, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? But it's just one of those things that it was an injury that I never really dealt with before, so I ain't really know how to go about it.
Focusing more on the good stuff, the touchdown against Detroit in week two. In the backfield, you know, you split out, there's a defensive end trying to chase you. Those kinds of plays, like when you're able to use your versatility, do you know, are you looking around like, I know I can just dust this guy, I know the catches, like, what's it like knowing that you can be used in all those ways and that touchdown right there? Like,
It's just one of those things where it's just like, I'm trying to figure out what the defense is going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, at a point right now we are in the season, I think teams are just like, you know what, hey, he's a running back when he's back there now.
Yeah.
Don't even consider him, you know, a receiver, because he's going to run through the tackles, he can run out. He can do all those things. So, you know, being able to line up in different spots, I feel like it helps our offense out so much, because it just confuses the defense, whether mm-hmm. they don't know what's going on, you know, and maybe you don't know what I could possibly be doing. We could
right.
be throwing the ball to somebody else. But it just gives the defense such a confusing look that it helps our offense out so much.
Is that – what's your best – asset as a player, do you think that's it?
When I touch the ball,
I
can't really, you know, it's tough, because when I get the ball playing receiver, I just turn into a running back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking for ways to get past the defender to score. Every time I touch the ball, I'm thinking touchdown, honestly. I don't know, I'm pretty sure everybody think that, but
You can make it happen.
I act like it.
Yeah. Have you, like, when you were, like, 4 years old, were you, like, making kids miss and tag? And or, like, when did you realize, hey, I'm pretty good at when people are trying to get me, they can't actually do it?
I never really, like, I always had people, like, telling me how good I was and, you know, since I was a little kid. But I was a person that never really fed into that, you know what I'm saying? I just was doing it because it was just fun, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I was just playing, but I knew I was good because I used to get picked first every time. So I'm like, I mean, I must be doing something, but I never really let it get to me.
Yeah, a couple more, and I appreciate your time. Let me check my nerdy list here. You're on pace to have one of your best running back seasons in terms of yardage, yards per carry. Why do you think that is? Do you think you're seeing things clear, or is it just the opportunities or the all the guys around, how hard this offense is to defend? Because you're about to pass your career high in yardage. You're going to get maybe your most carries. It's interesting to see, like, there's a bit of a spike happening here, and I'm wondering if you have an idea as to why.
I mean, it's just I think it's my OC and the coaches just trusting in me to, you know, to run the ball from the backfield. They understand I could create something from the backfield and I can make things happen. I can see holes, make cuts, you know, and, you know, most the O-line, you know, the tight ends, everybody that's blocked for me, you know, my stats, achievements wouldn't be done without them. You know, they are the reason why I'm able to get so many yards, because they do a great job of blocking for me. And like I tell you every time I touch the ball, mm-hmm. you know, the way this league works, you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get. So when you get one, you got to make the most of it. And that's how I think about every play.
And I think lastly, I was looking back, I don't think you've made the postseason yet.
Nah,
how much is that on your mind right now?
I did 1 year. It was my first year in the league, but I like broke my ankle.
Okay.
But
now, I mean, you're an active participant.
As an active player, I mean, that's definitely a goal of mine, because, I mean, as a kid growing up, you just, you know, you sit down with your family and you watch the playoffs. So to be a part of that would be definitely special.
Awesome, dude. Thank you very much. I think people really cared about hearing about that.
Hey, Pete. Fuck you.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.